So, Rosh Hashanah is upon us. I'm aware as well that there are many more Balei Tokea, many more people are blowing shofar this year than perhaps in the past because of all the extra minyanim. So what I'd like to do is to go through the sounds of the shofar, and I'd like to discuss what the sounds are supposed to look like according to the various minhagim, try to make it as practical as I can. I will make the following caveat. If you think that now, after listening to the shiur, you're going to go and start correcting the Baal Tokea in Rosh Hashanah, then the shiur is not for you. Nor is Rosh Hashanah for you as well. You have a lot more issues, so that's not for you. If you're a first-time Baal Tokea, and this is going to make you nervous, because you're going to have extra things to think about, it's probably not for you either. Everything should try to be as relaxed as possible. But we're going to try to make it as practical as well. Let's just begin with a few comments about the shofar itself, and then we'll get into the tekios. The shear, the size of a shofar, according to the Gemara, is a tefach. You have to be able to hold it with your hand. Now, there's a sheet of Rabbeinu Gershom that says it has to actually be closer to 3 tefachim, a tefach to hold it with, and then a tefach here and a tefach there. And the reason the Gemara says is that the shofar has to be big enough to be held with the tefach, really going in each direction. That's a chumrah of Rabbeinu Gershom. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha that we don't really follow Rabbeinu Gershom when it comes to buying the shofar at Lamaisa, but he says there's a principle in Halacha that you should try to spend up to a third more of the regular price in order to fulfill a Hidur Mitzvah. So it would come out that if you have a shofar that's very small, and generally shofars that are small are harder to blow, but if you have a shofar that's very small, you should technically pay more for a shofar that will be, you know, 3 tefach in every direction. And that would be a hiddur mitzvah. The Gemara spends a lot of time discussing cracks and holes in the shofar. It's not really so much to discuss here practically, but very quickly, if you don't cover the hole and the sound is not effective, then the shofar is 100% kosher. There can be a hole drilled in the middle of the shofar, but if it doesn't affect the sound, you don't cover it up, it's fine. And there's not even a hiddur. It's not even extra to take another shofar. If it does change the sound, it's not exactly clear how to define that, then it's still kosher anyway. The Rama says it's better not to use it if it might change the sound, and therefore, practically, we try to stay away from a shofar with a hole, but certainly can be used if need be. The issue becomes with a hole is when they seal up the hole. Even if it's a small hole and it doesn't change the sound, the shofar is pasul if they seal up the hole. The reason is that by continuing to use the shofar, it can cause the crack or the hole to spread. And if you check the... There's a lot of machlokas about such a shofar that they seal up the hole of the shofar. Often the person who covers it makes sure that it's polished so you can't tell there was a hole, and therefore, that's why you have to buy a shofar from a trustworthy person. The complicated issue is the crack. If there's a crack in the shofar, even if it's small, it doesn't change the sound, so the shofar is pasul. The reason is because if the crack is there and you continue to use it, so then blowing into the shofar might cause the crack to spread and cause it to become a problem, and then it can't be used. Because if the crack eventually will go all the way around the circumference in one direction, so then that could be a problem, and therefore we try not to use a shofar that has a crack at all. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't color the shofar as well. The Mishnah Berurah says that the coloring can impact the sound. There was a big machlokas in Eretz Yisrael about 20 years ago about the polish that was used in the shofar, but the poskim say that only a tseva sheish bo mamash, only if the coloring really adds a thick layer to the shofar, is there a problem. Therefore, even though we'll find that our shofars are all polished, it's still generally okay. Now the Torah tells us, let's get into the kolos itself. The Torah tells us 3 times to listen to the trua on Rosh Hashanah. Each trua needs sefer tzikia, before and after. The tekiah is like when the king is coming through, that's the main thing, the trua, and the tekiah is like the processional before the king, the guard before, and the tekiah is the processional afterwards to show that the king has passed. And that's what the tekiah role. The tekiah is in Hashkafa, we'll talk about maybe a little bit later, the tekiah represents the Simchas Hayom, the trua represents the din, the seriousness of the day, and therefore they need to be couched on both ends. Now, the Torah says 3 times to blow a trua. So, tekiya, trua, tekiya. 3 times 3 is 9. According to the Torah, you need to have 9 blasts. The Torah says there's something called a trua. The Gemara says there's something called a trua yavava. It has to be a crying sound. Like we find with the mother of Sisera, that she had this sobbing sound. There are long cries, and there are short cries. And Chazal had a suffix, a question about what the tshuva is, and therefore there is a machlokas regarding what the tshuva sounds like. And Rabbi Abahu established that we are machmer for all three opinions, what we call a shvarim, a tshuva, and a shvarim tshuva together. Or what we'll call in shorthand, tashrat, tinshit, tafshin, resh tet, is tekiya shvarim tshuva, tashat, tekiya shvarim tshuva, and taf, resh tet, is tekiya tshuva tekiya, but we can't have another taf, because that was used for tekiya, so we take the resh, and it's called tarat. Three times each. We count the shvarim and the tshuva technically as two, even though it's one. So, according to all the opinions in the Gemara, in order to fulfill, you need to have 30 kolos, 30 sounds, in order to make sure you fulfill all the different opinions. Then, as the Gemara tells us, we blow Tekiyas Demiyushav before the Shmon Esrei, Tekiyas Demeuma during or after during Chazaras Hashatz, and that makes 30 times 2 is, again, 60, and that's how much we would need. If you blow Nesach Sfard, you blow in Shmon Esrei another 30, and then we try to get to that 100 corresponding to the mother of Sisera, those other 10 or 40, depending on the Nusach. Let's begin with the Tekiyah. The Torah says that Tekiyah is kol pashut mitchilaso ad sofo. It is a simple, straight sound from beginning to end. It's meant to connote, as we said, the simchas hayom, that we are not crying, we are mechazek, we strengthen our brokenness with the simcha of the Tekiyah. And the Ramban says the same thing in his drasha to Rosh Hashanah, and all kolos, all sounds are kosher for a Tekiyah. A straight, simple sound. Now the Sefer Chassidim says that lechatchila it should be a kol gavoa b'kol kocho. It should be loud and with your full strength. However, if by doing it kol gavoa, really making it very loud, it won't be long enough, then don't blow it so loud. The Beis Yosef cites the Rokeach, who says that a weak tekiah is also kosher. If you know, loud would be something like this, and then if it's weak, that would also be fine. The Chazon Ish said that sometimes the tekiah can change in the middle and be wavy. And that's what we call a kol, that's still fine. That is 100% that's 100% a kol pashut as well. And this is the opinion of the Stipler and Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So sometimes the tekiah may do this. That, if it changes in those sections because the person blowing through, so then at the end of the day, that's going to be 100% fine as well. It doesn't have to be perfectly straight without, you know, any waviness at all. However, sometimes the tekiah has a shever in the middle. A shever doesn't mean a break. We sometimes call a shvarim a shever because we think that it's broken. A shever means a push or a groan. The shvarim is named after the word phrase shivron halev, the brokenness of the heart. An extra groan or push that's put into it. What happens sometimes is that the sound will flip up at the beginning or the end. And it may, according to some opinions, turn it into a shever from a tekiah. The Maril Diskin was careful there shouldn't be any shever at all in the tekiah, but the minig is not like this. But the Baal Tokeah couldn't be aware of this. So, for example, the Maril Diskin says it should not be any flipping at all. The Baal Tokeah does that by his tongue, by putting it closely to the hole and stopping it at the end. But sometimes the Baal Tokeah will do this in order to get air. He'll do how it flips up, or at the end, he'll flip up at the end as well. So again, it's perfectly fine. It doesn't mean any problems. The Maril Diskin has a chumrah, and it's not a problem at all whatsoever. Rav Shechter told me this was in fact the minug in Lita. This was the minug in Lithuania to have this flip at the end. Perhaps it's a chumra, he said, to be totally pasher with no flip, but it's still 100% kosher if the Baal Tokeah does have that flip, that shever, at the beginning or the end. The tekiah can be as long as you want. However, the Gemara Shoshana Daf Lamed Gimel says that because the tekiah is meant to support the trua, it should be at least the same length as the trua. So you always have to make sure the tekiah is at least the same length, and perhaps some people are machmer just to go a little bit more, the length of whatever the middle kolos are. And that goes with Tekiyah Shvarim Trua, which can be longer. We'll get to that in a moment. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a fantastic chumrah where Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that, we'll talk about this expression in a moment, but trumasin. Trumasin are the every single moment, every single koach, is every single bit is divided into trumasin, trumisin. Now, Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that in Rishonim, trumisin is a second, is a full second. So therefore, what you would need is to have a shvarim has to be three kochos, each three trumisin. So that would be 3 times 3 is 9, and then a true has to be the same as another 9. So according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, the shvarim true had to be 18 seconds, which is a very long time. That was not the minug at all. We'll talk about it later on, and we'll talk about the shirim that Rav David Feinstein has as well. So that's the tekiyah. Let's begin now with the shvarim. The Ritva says that a shvarim are short tekiyos. There's no difference, according to the Ritva, how you blow a tekiyah or a shvarim, but a shvarim has to be shorter than a tekiyah. Therefore, when you blow a shvarim, there must be a break in between each shever, in between the three, as we'll talk about the number in a moment. This is the opinion of Rashi, and this is the meaning of chasidim, that there's no change at all. It's simply three blasts without any change in them. And this is probably the more common minhag in the world. It's three short blasts with a full break. That's it. Three short blasts. However, the Ramban says that the difference between a shvarim and a trua is in the nature of the sound. The tekiyah has each one straight on its own. The shvarim has dips in between. We see from the Ramban that there's no necessarily a hefsek. There's no break, according to the Ramban. The very nature of the sound separates the shvarim. And this is the minhag in many places as well, because it prevents the possibility of thinking that the shever is a tekiyah. So sometimes you may have heard the expression hutus or tuhus or tuhutus. What does that mean? So what that means is that you'll blow the shofar. The tongue does all the work for the sound of the shofar. So you'll make a hutu sound when you're blowing. And this is the minhag in many places as well, in Lita, in order to differentiate. So for example, hutus. Sorry. Hutu, 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 or to whose. To who, to who, to who, or more complicated is to hutus. So those connote the sheet of the Ramban that it has to be different than the tekiyah. Now, Rishach has told me there's no preference between them at the end of the day. Both are valid, and the Baal Tzokeya should do whatever he is comfortable with. Now, what's the length of the Shvarim and the Trua over here? So there's no clear measurement. The Mishnah only says the Tekiyah is the same length as the Trua, and the Trua is Shalosh Yevavos, or Trumisim, that expression, moments. So what are Shalosh Yevavos? So Rashi says it's Gimel Koach Kol Shehu. It's three blasts. And the Ritva says it's like saying one letter. So he says, for example, 2-2-2, one after another. That's what it is. 2-2-2, one after another. Essentially, it's three extremely short blasts, according to Rashi, when it comes to... Rashi has a confusing sheet about a shvarim, but essentially it's three very short blasts. That's it. The Ritva and the Riva say that each Yevava is really three kochos, and therefore the Shvarim has three Yevavos, and therefore it's 9 kochos, or letters, moments, whatever that is. So the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chadchil, we follow this opinion. Therefore, we have to be careful that each Shever should not be more than 9 kochos, because if it's more than that, it will become a tekiyah. So they can't be too long as well, and not a shever. And even if we follow the Ramban, who says a shever is based on the type of the sound, not the length, and therefore each shever shouldn't be a second, and it can be perhaps, you know, somewhere within a second. So what it comes down to is as follows. It comes out that according to, and Rav Shechter is a fan of Rav David Feinstein's calculations, it's about 2 seconds for shvarim to take. 2 to 3 seconds. If it goes into the 4 second range for the entire Shvarim, it could be too long. And because it could be in the range of a tekiah. You can have more than 3 avavos for a Shvarim, but the Mishnah Berurah says lechatchila we shouldn't have more than 3. Then Rabbi Soloveitchik has his famous 5 Shvarim Shita. You can, Rav Shechter talks about Nefesh HaRav. We're not going to even touch that at all. So it would be something like this. Let me just put on a stopwatch to make a timer here to make sure. So it would be something like this. Three short blasts, not too short. Rav Shechter also feels it shouldn't be too short like this. It shouldn't be too short because then it doesn't sound like a cry. It sounds like a dog, like, you know, wailing or whimpering. It shouldn't be like this. That's too short. But it shouldn't be too long where it's... because that's going to turn into a tekiah. So you want to try to time them to be in the 2 to 3 second range total. If you want to be extra careful that they shouldn't sound like it, so Rav Shechter also noticed that if the Shvarim sounds too much like this shriek and not this cry, so then you can go into use tuhus or hutus or things like that, and you can go. But again, to try to be in the 2 to 3 second range and not to go into the 4 second range. Let's move on to the Trua. Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel say that there are 3 trumisim, short blasts. And the Rivan say there should be 9, and the Shulchan Aruch is machna, right? We've never heard a true before with just 3. We always know the famous number of 9. Now, you are yotze with 3, if you're sitting there with your watch, and you notice that there's no way that anybody listening can count the amount of truas because it goes so fast. But let's say you know for sure it was only 7 or 6, it doesn't matter. Because you're yotze with 3 according to Rashi. When it comes to the trua, you can add as many as you want. And we do add more than 9. Because the Baal Tokea blows the 9 extremely quickly. And generally, the tzibur wouldn't even believe that he blew 9. Because it happens so quickly. So we throw in a few more for the crowd. To make sure they know that they feel that they got the whole show. And it could do the whole thing in 2 to 3 seconds. The tekiah then has to match that of that 2 to 3 seconds as well. Doesn't have to match the actual amount of the trua if it goes longer than 2 or 3 seconds. So you could have it as follows. You could go. So that was more than 9. But if you do it quickly enough, you can't count. If we played it back very slowly, you would hear there's more than 9. But again, in the 2 to 3 second range, you want to have as many as you can kind of get in. And that is perfectly fine. It doesn't have to be longer than those 2 to 3 seconds. That would be perfectly fine as well. If you want to be super firm about it, there's the sheet of the Migdal Oz. The Migdal Oz in Hilchos Shofar and Perek Gimel on the Rambam. So he writes, V'od kishe zachisi lavo be'eretz hakadosha, matzasi teruasam bekabal savosam. I found there were some Jews, and this is the meaning of the Teimanim, kikol hamisra'esh, v'ein tut bahem. This is what the Migdal Oz writes. He writes the word tut. Ve'ein tut bahem. In their trua, there was no tut. It was rather this misra'esh. There was this shaking sound that they had. I'm not going to do it for you because I can't do it. But you can go and Google Teimani trua in English or in Hebrew, and you will find it. There's no hefsik. There's no break into it at all if it's done properly. And it's just this shaking trua. That's the only way to describe it. But that's the meaning of Teimanim. Some people are very makbid, will go to hear a true of the Teimanim to make sure they fulfill that opinion as well. But that's certainly not the opinion in most places. There is a discussion whether the trua can trail off at the end and be longer. And this is a big it's probably the most common difficulty for Baalei Tekiah to do that, because there's a concern that maybe it's like a shvarim. What happens? You are bursting with air, and the last one, the Baal Tokea will make it longer. It will come out longer at the end. So it's something to be machmer about. Rav Shechter said it's not considered a hefsek, it's not a break between that and the tekiah if it's the way it happens to come out naturally. You would never have to repeat for it, that's for sure. If the last one goes a bit longer, fine, He should try to, Baal Takeda should try to not have it that way, but if he can't, it's not the end of the world, and you definitely would not have to repeat. Now that we've discussed Shvarim and Trua, let's bring them together in Shvarim Trua. The Shulchan Aruch says, in the name of Rov Rishonim, that the Shvarim should be in one breath, because if you breathe in between, then it's not a kol. If I do this, that's a problem. To breathe in between is a problem, that's not one kol. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, if you breathe in between each of the Shvarim, then it's possible, according to most poskim, you might have to repeat. However, what about breathing in between the Shvarim and the Trua? What about over there? So here we have a machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam says that you should breathe in between them, because the Trua of the Torah is the sound of the Shvarim and the Trua when a person cries. And a person cries in between each type of crying. A person doesn't cry until he passes out because he can't breathe. Unless a person's, you know, like really, really upset. But a person cries in between each heave of different types, the fast ones, the slow ones, he breathes. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that's normal. And that seems to be the understanding of the Rambam as well, the way the Rambam describes it. The Ritz Geis and the Rush say that the Shvarim Trua cannot be broken. It's one kol. And you shouldn't breathe in between the two parts. Now, that's fine. We have a machlokas. We have a lot of machlokas in Judaism. Not the end of the world. The question is for us, does each one hold of the other opinion? Or does each one think the other option is a psul, will ruin it? Because if the other one thinks the other one is a problem, then we have an issue, because I don't know what to do. So the Mishnah Berurah says that Rabbeinu Tam would hold that a Shvarim Trua in one breath is still kosher. He'll still hold kosher. But the Rush and the Ritz Geis hold that if you break it into two breaths, then it's pasul. So one of them holds like the other side, and the other one doesn't hold like the other side. So what do we do? So we'll talk about what we do at the end, but first let's define our terms. But first let's discuss what we call neshima achas, the shofar blast that should be all in once. That is the Rush and the Ritz Geis. There should be no breaks in between the two. The Shulchan Aruch cites Rav Trumas HaDeshen, who says that you cannot breathe in between, but you should pause. Pachos michdei neshima. There should be a clear pause. He doesn't explain how long it is, but let's just say it's half a second. So, according to Shumas Hadeshem, there's no breathing, but it's a pause. Okay, there was no breath in between, but there was a clear demarcation between Shvarim and Trua. The Chazon Ish is more machmer. The Chazon Ish says there shouldn't be hefsek at all, but you have to clearly finish the final Shvarim before starting the Trua. The Ramban seems to say the same way. I don't know if I did it, you would distinguish any difference between it, so I'm not going to even say a difference over here. Rav Shechter told me that there should be a pause, but without breathing. It should not simply run into it, because you don't want the Shvarim and the Trua to hit each other, and you can't tell the difference. There should be a pause, don't worry about the Chazon Ish, just a pause in between without breathing. What is Shtei Neshimos? What is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam to have two blasts, well, one blast with a breath in between? The Taz, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and others explain you have to take a full breath in between, and the breath should just be for a moment. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yirei Shemayim should be Yotzei, both opinions. Okay? Before we get to that, just to be clear, just by according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Taz, when we talk about a Tekiah of Shtei Neshimos, there should be an inhale in the middle. An inhale in between makes it Shtei Neshimos. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says that Yirei Shemayim will be Yotzei both opinions of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush and everyone else. So what does that mean? For the Tekiyos Dimiyushav, the Tekiyos, the first ones, should have Shvarim Trua B'Neshima Achas. The first blast after the bracha, before Musaf starts, should be one without a breath in between. The Tekiyos de Me'umad, the Tekiyos of the Shmona Esrei during Musaf, should be Shtei Neshimos, with the breath in between, to be Machmer for Rabbeinu Tam. Because, again, Rabbeinu Tam holds of the other opinion. He's fine if you do it once. But the Rush thinks Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. So if I do Rabbeinu Tam's first, then according to Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to have a problem. So I should save those for afterwards. The Mishnah Berurah says, there is a minhag to switch the above order. The Ramah says the minhag Ashkenaz to only blow Shtei Nishiyamos like Rabbeinu Tam. That is not the minhag Ashkenaz for us. The Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion, the Vilna Gaon and the Bir HaGra, the Chazanish all say it's better to follow the Shulchan Aruch. And what we do is, the Tekios Demiyusha of the first Tekios should be without any break in between, and the later Tekios should be with a break in the middle. Rabbi Soloveitchik would blow everything but Neshima Achas, like the Ramah said. Roshechta writes this in Pnimei HaRav, and he only blew Shtei Neshimos at the very end, at the last 10, or 12 technically. Rabbi Soloveitchik blew 102 Tekios on Rosh Hashanah, because he blew in the silent Amida as well. So, and then he would blow a full Tashrat again in the last 10. So it came out to be 102. Rosh Hashanah says that all the Tekios during Shmoneh Esrei and Chazaras Hashatz should be Menashim Echas, and only the last 10, if you're doing 10 at the end, during the Kaddish should be with Shtei Neshimos. But again, generally the minhag is, the first are what Shema Echas all in one, and everything following can be B'Shtei Neshimos like Rabbeinu Tam. Again, Rav David Feinstein has a calculation for the Trumisin into seconds, and how to calculate it. In this Chuvos V'Dibar Tzavam by Rav Baruch Horowitz, who's a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein in Siman Kuf Samach Beis, he says that Rav David Feinstein says the Tekiah of Tashrat should be 4 seconds, each Shever should be between a half a second or 0.6 seconds, and it shouldn't be more than 0.9 seconds. And it's obviously hard to measure for each person to sit that, and therefore you need to estimate for yourself. But again, better to be on the shorter side, so it shouldn't end up being a Tekiah. And that is the general overview of what the Tekiahs should sound like, timing-wise, for a layman. If a person wants to be super from, there's all types of cheshbonos of being yosei according to this one, being yosei according to that one, and switching up according to this point in the davening, according to that point in the davening. But this is, you know, the basics, mikra din. Let's just talk a moment about mistakes. We are human beings, and sometimes we make mistakes. Not that often, but sometimes we make mistakes. So what's the rule about making mistakes, and when do we send the Baal Tokeah back? If a person makes a mistake in the Tekiyos, then you must repeat. You never, ever have to repeat an entire Seder. There's no such thing as repeating a Tekiyah Shvarim Trua, a Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah. There's no such thing as going back to the beginning of all nine. It doesn't exist. When we talk about going back, we talk about going to the beginning of the line in the Machzor. You have to pause slightly between each Tekiyah and Trua, Shvarim and Shvarim Trua. And if you don't stop, then they all run together. You have to be Mach and repeat in the first 30 Tekiyos. If in the first 30 Tekiyos you run them together without breaking, you have to go back. In the later 70, you don't have to go back and repeat. The whole point of a makri, of having somebody call it, prevents that. If somebody's calling it, then you can't run in between the two. You may not breathe in the middle of a shvar, in the middle of a tru, as we said before. That would be a psul. One kind of mistake is where a person with kavana blows the wrong sound. For example, he doesn't remember what he was supposed to blow. He thought he was supposed to blow a shvarim, and with intention he blows a trua. In that case, you must go back to the beginning of the tekiah. If your kavana for what you're blowing is bad, then you have to go back to the beginning of the line and start again. The more common mistake, if the guy is paying attention, again, if the guy is paying attention to the makri, we shouldn't have such a mistake like the first one. The more common mistake is where a person has kavana for the correct sound, but the wrong sound comes out. It doesn't come out the way he wants. In this case, take a break, take a breath, and blow the proper sound, and then continue normally. However, if you blow less than 9 blasts for a trua, he's technically yotze according to Rashi and Chananel, you can go back and blow them again if you want to. The trua as you feel is more correct. If you're not happy with your trua, you can go back and blow that trua again. Rosh Hashanah told me that Rav Lessin, who was the Mashiach in YU, never ever made the Baal Tokeah go back, because he was such a Baal Midos, he felt bad to make the Baal Tokeah repeat again. He almost never corrected the Baal Tokeah. Rabbi Soloveitchik was generally machmer about these things, but Rav Lessin never generally repeated. So, that is the basic overview of the Tekiyos. Not to lose sight. All the technicalities are very important, but the main thing is that the shofar should inspire us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be a cry. That is a form of our tefillah, so cry to express the feelings inside that we perhaps cannot express with our own words or our own tears, and to have proper kavan to prepare ourselves for the shofar. This shofar can be a proper melitz yosha for us. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful evening.